from the edge of the bottom of the Florida Peninsula. This is Martin Zender from Studio One. I have a related truth today. That question was perfect last week. Yesterday was perfect. Today will be, well, almost perfect. I do what I can. Nothing's perfect. It's frustrating, isn't it? The scriptures are not easy to understand. This is a vast struggle. That's what Paul called it. The reason my Bible looks like it does, I've shown it to you before, it's held together with duct tape, is because I have, in frustration over the years, thrown it against the wall, and I'm not ashamed to say that. But because of these struggles of understanding these vast, great, glorious, and grand concepts, I am able to explain it to other people. Not perfectly, but I do what I can. In fact, yesterday, I have to tell you this, I got a call from someone in prison, and my books are circulating in prisons, and this inmate named Chad got on the phone with me, and he had received my book, Martin Zender Goes to Hell, How to Be Free from Sin While Smoking a Cigarette, The First Idiot in Heaven, and this man's life was literally changed by this truth. There he is, incarcerated. I think this particular person is in there for life, and he is rejoicing in the truth of God. He's seeing things he's never seen before, and he's only been looking at this stuff for 2 months. This is my point. For 2 months. And he's getting it. He's reading All in All by A.E. Nock. He's reading The Problem of Evil. I mean, he's reading God's Aeonian Purpose by Adlai Lowdy. And again, The First Idiot in Heaven by Yours Truly. And he's getting it. He's getting in 2 months what it took me 20 years to understand. I could potentially resent that, but I don't. I love it. I love it. And the reason is, me and these other men who have written these books, we have wrestled with these things for years in order to understand them completely, in order to explain it simply. I forget who it was. Did Einstein say this? He said, if you can't explain something simply, then you don't understand it yourself. This is what takes the 20 years, honestly, to have it so thoroughly inside of you that you can put it in a nutshell and that somebody can get it in 10 minutes and then run with it. I love that. I don't resent the fact at all. I gave you this analogy before. It's like someone eventually putting a superhighway on Mount Everest, and the people who struggled and died up there, well, it's not fair that they should work so hard and other people can just drive up there. I personally wouldn't care. I'd be happy to have pioneered a route that everybody can get up and enjoy the view from the top of Mount Everest. We, ladies and gentlemen, are on the top of Mount Everest. I told you yesterday, the consummations of the eons have attained to us. You've heard that Leonardo da Vinci was drawing pictures of helicopters in the 1500s, or whenever the guy lived. Drawing pictures of helicopters. The guy was way ahead of his time. They thought he was nuts. Anybody who's ahead of their time, they think, is nuts. And I told you that people think we're nuts because of this truth that we have. We are so far ahead. The consummations of the eons have attained to us. And we see the result of the loosening of sin. And the result for us of the loosening of sin is justification. The result of Israel of the loosening of sin is that it's not actually presented to them as the ultimate loosening from sin, because we still see them wrestling with it, i.e. pardon and forgiveness based on your behavior. That's as simple as I can put it. You have to look at the context. And along that line, difference number 16, this goes along with the purpose perfectly. Speaking of perfection, the gospel of the circumcision, you must forgive others for God to forgive you. Matthew 6:15. That's what I'm talking about, context. This is how the unloosening of sins is not presented to them in the grand sense of justification. It's not presented to them. It's presented to them in this fashion. You must forgive others for God to forgive you. And here's the passage, Matthew 6:15. Yet if you should not be forgiving humans their offenses, neither will your Father be forgiving your offenses. There it is. That's not our message. Where do you read in Paul that your offenses are here and your deliverance from the offenses are here? And in order for you to get this, that is the forgiveness of your offenses, you have to forgive other people. And this is consistent, again, with the parable of the 10,000 talent debtor. Yet Paul says that our offenses aren't being reckoned to us, that we are pronounced righteous before God. If you don't see a difference between that and this, then you're not qualified to teach Paul's gospel, because you don't know what Paul's gospel is. This is the essentialness of distinguishing between law and grace, between a primitive presentation of the loosening of sins and the ultimate presentation of the loosening of sins. That is a presentation that is commensurate with the consummations of the eons which have attained to us. We are space age. We are at the end of it. The problem is we're still stuck in at the end of Eon 3. And yet in our minds and our apprehensions, we're at the end of this thing. We've got so much truth that some of us are being driven crazy by it. Because we can't, it's hard to know these things and to look out the window and see the horrible darkness that we're in the middle of. It's almost easier for people who are being dealt with primitively and really at a low level of revelation like Israel. That's almost easier because it fits more with what you see in the world. We are so far ahead in revelation. Listen, we see now what everybody's going to see eventually. I've told this to people many times. I said, listen, what I believe is going to be really popular someday. Oh yeah, everybody's going to glom onto it. When you see the glory, when you see the greatness, like Thomas looking at Jesus. Okay, now I believe because there he is standing in front of me. Everybody's going to believe what we believe someday. Even Israel, they're going to come out of this little demonstration after the 1,000 years, and they're going to see it, and they're going to say, God, where's this justification been? And we can say to them, this was our specific gospel. God gave us this. He showed us the ultimate result of the loosening of sin. For you guys, he didn't. Will they resent it at that time? No, they'll glorify God. Nobody's going to resent anybody. Nobody's going to resent that somebody got this early and somebody didn't get this till later. It's just God's wisdom that he does it that way. So, I will never forget hearing Corey Ten Boom on an audio tape. Back when you ran tape through a tape recorder machine, Corey Ten Boom, the famous Dutch concentration camp survivor, and she was giving a speech at a church, and I'll never forget this. She referenced this verse, Matthew 6:15. And she was wrestling with forgiving her German persecutors. She was wrestling with forgiving the frickin' Nazis for what they did to her and her family. And I'll never forget her quoting this verse, and I can still hear her little voice, her Dutch voice, speaking in English. And she basically said she had to forgive her German persecutors. She had to, or God wouldn't forgive her. And she was going on this verse. And she said, well, if Jesus said it, then it must be true. I'll never forget that. If Jesus said it, then it must be true. Yes, Corey, it is true. In the circumcision gospel, in the gospel given to Abraham and to Peter by the terrestrial Jesus. Yes, it is true. But poor Corey Ten Boom never read Paul. If she did read Paul, she read with a set of blinders on that she may have been born with due to whatever Orthodox church institution she grew up in. And yes, she attained to the highest pinnacle, to the ceiling of that evangel. To forgive monsters like the Nazis who ran the concentration camps that killed her family, that's the epic greatness. But that's the ceiling of the circumcision gospel. But this was required of her, and she knew it. Jesus said that it must be true. Yeah, but what did Paul say? I never read Paul. I don't know. Of course you don't know. Because it clashes. This is what I'm saying. It does clash. Is the forgiveness of sin in picture there with Corey Ten Boom? Yes, it is. The loosening of sin? Yes. But it depends on her forgiving the frickin' Germans. With us, we don't have to forgive the frickin' Germans, because we are justified by grace, and we're going to see that here. There was something, as I listened to Corey's voice, there was something in there that suggested like a tired resignation, like she had to do it, as if she deep down wished that what she weren't saying was true. It's like,
Well, yeah, that's how it's like. Well, Jesus did say this, and so what do you want me to do? I got to forgive the freaking Germans. Yeah.
And she must have known that it clashed with other verses that she was not intimately familiar with, namely Paul's verses. I'm not saying that she didn't want to forgive her persecutors. I'm just suggesting to you that she was spiritually cognizant enough to wonder why God was presenting a do this or else message to a heart that was bent on grace. And I'll give her credit for that. I believe her heart was bent on grace. But she was forced, because someone put her nose into the circumcision gospel, she was forced to operate according to this principle. And I contend to you that if she had read Paul, if she had understood the depths of the grace of God, the transcendent riches of his grace, then it would have been easier. She would have just, for one thing, her own forgiveness wouldn't have depended upon her forgiving the freaking Germans. Yeah, it wouldn't have depended on that. Did she ever see it in her lifetime? I have no record that she did. This is a do this or else message. I'm sorry. But then again, I'm not sorry. I didn't invent the do this or else message. This is how it is for Israel. I ask people who think that Matthew 6:15 applies to them instead of only to the Jews and the Israelite wannabes, I ask them if they really believe it. This is fun. You should try this sometime. Ask people who are hell-bent on Israel things if they really believe this verse. That if they have not forgiven somebody for something, that God will retain their sins. And this is the way it's presented. That's an important term. It's presented. The loosening of sins is presented to Israel this way. It's presented to us in a much larger, broader, more glorious way. And I asked them, is God going to send you to your sicko version of hell if you don't do this? And they're confused at that point. Why? Well, it's easy to see why they're confused. Because they think Paul's gospel is just like Peter's gospel. They think Peter's gospel is just like Paul's gospel. They think that justification is the same as someone saying to you that if you don't forgive your brothers, I won't forgive you. It's not the same. It's completely different. Tomorrow, I'm going to go to the Paul end of this thing, where God deals graciously with us, and we are to extend the graciousness, not the forgiveness, to other people.